This is Fresh Air. Life doesn't always go as planned, and documentary movies don't always follow the expectations of the filmmaker. Ross McElwee's 1986 offbeat documentary Sherman's March started off as a film retracing General Sherman's march to the sea at the end of the Civil War, but it ended up chronicling McElwee's relationships with women. By the time the film was completed, he fell in love with film editor Marilyn Levine. They're married now, and they've collaborated on a new film. This film started out as a documentary about the 25th anniversary of the Berlin Wall and the subculture that had grown around the American checkpoint, Checkpoint Charlie. But when they were about to print the film, something totally unexpected happened. The wall was opened. So they returned to shoot a postscript about the end of the wall. The film is called Something to Do with the Wall. I spoke to McElwee and Levine and asked them if there were images from movies and news footage that shaped their expectations when they first went to the wall.
It was not so much the visual images as the feeling of the place that struck me when I came. What I had expected was a feeling of high tension and as if the wall were a dam that was holding back the red tide from engulfing the West. That's what we had been led to believe as children. And in fact, the wall, or at least the section of the wall near Checkpoint Charlie, was more like a psychiatrist's couch in which people seem, or a confession booth, people brought their various attitudes towards the Cold War and towards life itself to Checkpoint Charlie and left them there. We had religious groups who came and etched religious slogans on the wall, people who came to make political statements, other people came to do their artwork. It was, I don't know, much more complex scenario than I had expected. I expected it simply to be stark and foreboding.
Well, it had become quite a tourist attraction. You even describe it in the movie as a Cold War mecca.
Right.
Yes.
It went beyond being a tourist attraction, though. That was our first impression of it. It became a theater, a kind of performance center, and a lot of people were struck by that. I was very amazed by the fact that the wall had ceased being so much a barrier as a place where people were working out their own attitudes, as Ross said, and that itself made us want to make the film there, because life went on sort of in a normal way around it. People came and went to their apartment buildings right there, right a few feet from the wall, and then all this other performance was going on, and the two juxtaposed were really startling and very interesting.
I think that the tourist quality of it, though, was a very strong and surprising element, and I think that the United States government tacitly enjoyed letting people from all over the world climb up on their platforms, which they maintained quite well, and looking at the difference between West and East, and it became a platform for public relations to prove that democracy was better in a way than communism. And that fed right into the tourist markets. The buses would stop and disgorge their tourists, and people would climb up on the platforms and be able to see that West was better than East. And that was quite startling.
So after the wall was opened, you flew back to shoot a final ending for your movie. How long exactly was it after the wall was open that you arrived back in Berlin?
It was 4 days after the wall opened up that we actually got there with the cameras ready to shoot.
The thing that was interesting about being there only 4 days after the wall was opened up was that no one knew exactly what was going to happen next day by day. People didn't know if the whole wall was going to be dismantled, if just the Brandenburg Gate section of the wall was going to be opened up. And I think we didn't quite realize it at first, but as we were filming that first month of the wall being opened up, even 2 months after that, everything had changed. West Berliners were becoming somewhat disenchanted with the influx of East Berliners. The political situation had proven not to be so favorable to the East Germans as they had thought it and hoped it would be. And now, when we talk to our friends in Berlin, they tell us that the city has become somewhat unlivable, that and many East Germans are saying they wish the wall were back up again, that life was better for them before the influx of West Germans buying up everything in the East and so forth. So I think largely by good fortune, we happened not only to have filmed a phenomenon in part one before the wall came down that is now vanished and now can't be filmed because of obvious reasons, that the second part of the film also turned out to be something that was somewhat evanescent and has already vanished. The feeling of euphoria and cautious goodwill that even now has already evaporated.
My guests are Ross McElwee and Marilyn Levine, co-directors of the new documentary Something to Do with the Wall. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Ross, Marilyn, you met during the making of the film Sherman's March, which was, Ross, that was your film, and Marilyn, you met while you were editing the film with him, right? Do I have that right?
Not really.
Straighten me out.
I was working on other films, and many people had mentioned Ross because I was interested in doing a film that I don't need to go into right now. I wasn't working on his film at all. I was just working in my own work.
No, what I find kind of interesting about this is Sherman's March is in part about Ross's search for someone to love and to love him. And so by the time people are actually seeing the movie, you both had already fallen in love with each other. So I'm wondering what kind of reaction, Marilyn, you've gotten from viewers of the movie who really identified with Ross as being this, like, single person visiting old lovers and trying, mm-hmm. you know, hoping to find somebody new because he had just been jilted by one, he's just broken up with one of his lovers. So, I don't know, single people really identify, you know, with mm-hmm. things like that, except by the time the movie was out, Ross was no longer single.
Right.
So what was that like for you?
I identified with it, too.
Yeah,
I was
right.
single when I met him.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just the reaction that one might think. Various interviewers have asked me, you know, was I jealous? Was I this? Was I that? I liked the film. I saw it very early in its editing stages. Ross was actually editing it for a couple of years while we were in love, going out, deciding what to do with our own relationship. So I was single when I saw it, and I related to it on that basis.
I guess I'm wondering if people resented it all that this person who you could identify with, Ross, the single person, wasn't single anymore. So there you were, back alone again. I mean, there you were as the viewer, back alone again as the single person without you to identify with because you were no longer single.
Are you trying to make me feel guilty for jilting
yes,
an audience?
Yes, I think you had a moral responsibility to stay single, is I think my point
here. Well, we'll get divorced tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's strange about one of the many problems with making autobiographical films is the lag time. Life
right.
moves faster than film, even if you're filming at, you know, 24 frames per second. It's not fast enough. And the weird thing for me that I find over and over again, and I've been making these films for, 12 years now, 13 years, is that I'm working on films about the world as I saw it through my own personal perspective, autobiographical perspective. And that world has changed, but I'm still stuck with the footage, and I'm still working on it. And I'm doing that now. I'm doing a whole nother film that's about being married and having children and so forth. And meanwhile, you know, our son is growing up, and the film's still not finished. And this lag time is both good and bad. It frustrates you because you want to finish and catch up with life and start making the next film and so forth. I think what the only advantage is that it gives you a slight bit of perspective. You can look back on your immediate past and maybe judge it better than if it were live video broadcast and you had to simply show the footage the way it was. It's an almost philosophical dilemma that you get involved in, which, you know, I tried to explore a little bit in Sherman's March.
How did you like working together as you did on your film about the wall?
Neither of us know what to say. Who'd answer?
Deafening silence. okay, I'll go first. Shooting the film was wonderful. It was almost like a second honeymoon, bizarre as it was to be filming along the Berlin Wall. We really loved day-to-day shooting there because of its unpredictable nature, because we didn't really have to set things up. Things constantly unfolded before us in a way that was really intriguing for us anyway. We liked making films like that. It's not to say it wasn't difficult. We spent an awful lot of time at one place, Checkpoint Charlie, and that did get to be tedious at times, but it was a really good experience working together. I was also very happy to be working with someone after the solitary confinement of working on Sherman's March all by myself for 4 years. And so I enjoyed the experience of shooting with another person, which is not the way I shot Sherman's March. The editing of the film was a good deal more difficult, I think, because of Well, inherent in the material itself was trying to get the material right, but both Marilyn and I have very strong opinions, and I think we argued a lot about which scene should go where, and we discussed this and discussed that, and it was very difficult doing that, and then having to come home and
make spaghetti
and change the baby's diapers. We never could get away from the film. We could never get away from each other in a way, and it was a very intense time in our lives.
And it took a long time. We're talking about years of editing.
Right, two years of editing.
I mean, even though we were both shooting different films at that time, the most of our time was going towards editing this film, and our schedules had to constantly be aligned. It was very difficult.
Do you think you'd ever try this again, this kind of collaboration?
Well, we talk about trying it again before we die.
Yeah, close to that, huh?
in the nursing home, we're going to make a film together.
Marilyn Levine and Ross McElwee, their new film is Something to Do with the Wall. This is Fresh Air.